Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. I'm here, Andy Johnson, CPA, with your co-host, Dan Peisner. Hi, Dan.
Hey there, Andy.
Hi, Dan. I see you're back in Dallas.
Yep.
Looks like
it's good to be. Go ahead.
Looks like it's pretty decent weather. What's it like there?
We've had some thunderstorms ripping through, actually. Yeah, I missed the thunder, the lightning, and the blackout rain here all of about 45 minutes ago. So
is that right?
Yep. It does look like decent weather now. That's the old adage, you don't like the Texas weather, just wait 5 minutes.
Yep, that's true. I think it's true in all Midwest states say that.
Yep.
Here in, we call it sunny St. George for a reason because it's sunny and blue skies. So anyway, enough about the weather, huh? So the purpose of this podcast is to help e-commerce businesses and their tax advisors deal with the ever-changing rules of state taxes. And Dan, I think today would be a good time to discuss income taxes. With the Wayfair decision, you're seeing many e-commerce businesses have nexus in a lot more states. And so and that decision seems to be ironing out a little bit because with X amount of transactions or a volume of sales, then you probably have sales tax nexus. But then the question becomes, what about income tax nexus? And Dan, we have one federal law that has ever been passed in connection with federal income tax nexus. And why don't you tell everybody what that is?
Well, Andy, that law is called Public Law 86272. And what it says is that if your only activity into the state is not more than the solicitation of tangible personal property, and if those sales are fulfilled outside the state and the orders are accepted outside the state, then that state cannot impose a net income tax. Now, a lot of e-commerce sellers hear that and say, hey, I sell goods, they're tangible, I'm in the clear. And we've got to say not so fast to that, unfortunately.
Well, we first of all have to say you are right so far. Your analysis of that law is really good. You may be advanced more along those lines than many CPAs are, right? In analyzing, hey, Public Law 86272 protects me if all I sell is tangible property. What if they sell some sort of service, even like a warranty service?
Nope. You start selling repair services, then that can exceed that protection. And once you've exceeded it, you don't just file an income tax return on the part that's exceeded it, you file it on everything. Once you've got the responsibility to file, you've got the responsibility to file. It's very much an all or nothing.
Gotcha. So speaking of gotchas, what are the other gotchas? Why do you say that if an e-commerce seller determines that they're automatically okay for state income taxes in the U.S., that they may be acting a little too hastily?
Well, 86272 has been out for a while. And as we all know, the states have all been aching for money. And so they have not only have they tried to interpret that law as narrowly as possible, but they've also they've honed in on the last part of that qualifier that I mentioned, and that's a net income tax or a tax measured on net income. And what they've tried to do is they've tried to pass taxes that are not measured on a net income. And that we've seen several ways of doing this. And a couple of them that have popped up recently are the Texas franchise tax. It is for those e-commerce sellers that find themselves with nexus in Texas, either through some form of solicitation or other contact, they find themselves registering for sales tax, and oftentimes the state will go ahead and sign them up for the Texas franchise tax. And because while it may call for your income tax return, they've held that it is not strictly based on net income, and therefore not subject to 86272.
Okay, so lest we get too deep into tax jargon, what you're saying is if you are an e-commerce seller and you have customers in Texas, you may very well have sales tax nexus, and unfortunately, you may very well also have nexus for Texas franchise tax, because the one law that we said that exists on the federal books that protects companies from income tax nexus will not help you, not only e-commerce sales, it doesn't help anybody that is doing business in Texas against the Texas franchise tax.
That's correct. The other way that a number of the states have gotten people is we're seeing now as a lot of our clients are trying to register in the state of Kentucky because of them going live with their Wayfair law. When they register for sales tax, they'll send a message that says, "Hi, we've also registered you for corporate income. We've registered you sometimes for the Secretary of State," and they'll register you for what's called the limited liability entity tax, more simply LLET. And without going into more of that tax jargon that you prevent me from using so much there, Andy, the corporate income you can get out of with 86-272. However, the LLET is not based on net income, and so the state will still be expecting that return if you are quote unquote doing business, and 86-272 will not save you there.
That's in Kentucky.
That is in Kentucky.
So Kentucky is one of those states that if you register for sales tax, they automatically require you to register for their income tax.
That's correct. They it's not so much they require you, they just go ahead and set you up for it.
Right, right.
They do you a favor behind the scenes. Go ahead and set you up because it's assume you forgot.
So Kentucky is a relatively small state, though, so the chances of having much income tax or other type of tax exposure in Kentucky might not be as high, certainly, as Texas, right?
Right, right. I think another example, though, that will get the sellers a little bit more is one of the other ways that states have found to get around 86-272 is to just impose a minimum tax. So if they have two examples of this are Massachusetts and what's probably the biggest state for most sellers, California. And what they'll say is, fine, as long as you meet some kind of a threshold, and it's different for each state, then we're going to impose a minimum tax. And since that minimum is not based on a net income, 86-272 won't help you. And it is, I believe it's about $456 in Massachusetts, and it's $800 in California.
Yeah, for a small seller, that's just plus the cost of filing. It's just a money grab, don't you think?
I really do. I think those minimum taxes skirt the intent of the law with 86-272. Unfortunately, Congress it was put in place as a temporary fix for a Supreme Court case, and Congress unfortunately has not come back to really smooth out the rough edges and try to make it permanent. Something else always seems to come up.
So Public Law 86-272 was issued or passed in 1959. So next year will be 50 years, right? 59,
yep.
2019.
Yeah, it's been around a while for a temporary law.
I just did I did some more addition and subtraction, and I get 60 years. Because 59 to 2009 would be 50. So I always say I'm not very good at numbers. That's why I went into accounting.
You'd be surprised how often that comes up in this profession. We work with a lot of numbers, but we take away our Excel spreadsheets and we're harmless.
So 60 years of Public Law 86-272, states have had plenty of time to figure out how to get around it. The minimum tax is one. passing a tax that doesn't have a net income component like the Texas franchise tax. Any other states that you want to bring up now that we're in the gotcha world?
Off the top of my head, North Carolina has a franchise tax on top of the income tax. Again, 86272 will not save you from it. And I also believe New Jersey has a minimum tax. And there's a number of them out there. I have not taken the time to exhaustively research each of them. But the general crux of what we want to get across to our e-commerce sellers, especially the ones that are dealing with Wayfair right now that are trying to, we've got a lot of clients and talk to a lot of people that are trying to come into compliance with Wayfair, get their tax collection turned on for what we discussed last week as Nexus Monday. And what we basically just tell all of our clients is, in most cases, the sales tax is going to get you worse than the income tax will. You can't be everywhere at once, and you can't get everything buttoned down at once. So first and foremost, get your sales tax nailed down. Once you're going to see some scary stuff on the income tax, and once you get your sales tax nailed down, start working on your income tax. Work with your, make sure your CPA is in the loop after they come back from their August 16th hiatuses after the filing period, and just take it one step at a time. It is out there, and we bring this up because a lot of our clients are shocked to find out that they do have a filing responsibility after even when they thought that 86272 was going to help them.
Dan, I think we mentioned this last week, but foreign sellers tend to think erroneously, apparently, or not apparently, erroneously, period, that they don't really care about Publicly 86272 because they're exempt at a higher level because of the treaties that their countries have with the United States. So why don't the treaties trump Publicly 86272 and just automatically exempt all these companies, non-US based companies, from having to file state income tax returns?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the answer is because the states are not signatories to those international treaties. They have held that they are not bound by the international treaties. And the treaties actually do not specifically address state income tax. They all address the federal taxes. And it's something of a... The U.S., I think, is a little bit different than a lot of other countries because of our the way that we're structured. We're a more state centralized government with a federal government that does have significant tax collection responsibilities, but the states also have their own very powerful tax collection responsibility, and they hold they're not bound by the treaties that they've got their some of them. Essentially do de facto follow it. Some will require some kind of a filing to claim it. And some use that same trick and say, fine, you can claim that treaty, but we still want our minimum tax. So a lot of our tax treaty clients do find they still owe the minimum tax. And while it may not be much, you multiply that time. If a state finds you after doing business for 7 or 8 years, it can, between the return preparation and the minimums, it can add up.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Very, very good. Thank you for sharing that vital information. We hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'd rather you find it out from us than find it out from an auditor and have to pay all that penalty and interest. It's just better just to deal with state sales tax and state income tax proactively rather than wait to get audited. So, Dan, thank you very much. That concludes this week's episode. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Andy.